Shouldn't you be at work?
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
I'll have a low-fat pizza or something like that, or a few biscuits and some milk on a Sunday.
And you can pair up if you like, and you can fucking pick someone else to help you, and you can bring your fucking dinner.
Oh, a magnificent goal from Darren Huckabee!
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Only Hatton!
No!
Hello and welcome to the end of series episode of Quickly, Kevin, Will He Score? It's the quiz. I'm Chris Gold. Joining me, as always, Josh Widdicombe.
Howdy.
And a man fresh from trying to shut down clips of Peter Schmeichel getting lobbed by Davor Suka at Euro 96 on Twitter, it's Michael Martin.
I would just like, on that one particular clip, can I say, he's offside. Should not have counted.
Can I say, I was in a car this morning, I was driving a car, day of recording, this is the day before Manchester United are in a really pointless European trophy this evening, and they had Peter Schmeichel on Five Live, and they asked him about Man U, and he answered, and then they asked him whether who's the guy, Henderson, yep. Dean Henderson, should be in the England squad, and he said, that's not for me to comment, I'm Danish. And I thought, what a strange decision to make.
You're here to talk about Bronby, and that's it.
I saw an interview with Peter Schmeichel recently where he was talking about, the interviewer asked him, how do you, you and Casper, do you give him much advice? And Peter Schmeichel said, we never talk about football.
Oh, come on.
He said, it wouldn't be fair on the family. You just saying that makes... I thought that was rubbish, but you saying that makes me think it's true.
There's no way that they aren't talking about goalkeeping, at the very least.
I mean, this is like a similarity thing, right? On the set of The Last Leg, Brooker and Hills always talk about their prosthetic legs because it's rare that you know someone that has the exact same experience as you. And so to sit down with a professional goalkeeper and not go, you know that thing when you think you brought out your glove towel, but actually you've left it in the tunnel and then you're panicking for the rest of the game or whatever. You'd be doing that all the fucking time if you were sitting with another goalie, wouldn't you?
Unless it's such a busman's holiday that they just don't want to talk about it.
One other thing Peter Schmeichel said was that he doesn't talk to him about football because he said he's got managers and coaches for that. So he was like, we keep it away.
I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you this, Skull. If your dad was the host of Guardian Football Weekly, would you ever discuss football podcasting? Or would you consider it too much shop?
Absolutely. I'd never talk to him about that. It's not respectful to the family. can't be sat at Christmas dinner where I'm going, I really love the brand that Barry Glendening's created for himself. That's going to go down like a sack of shit.
Skull, shall we move on from Peter Schmeichel? Because it is a big week, isn't it, for the 90s o'clock news?
Let's get into it. It's time for today's 90s o'clock news.
From the headquarters of ITN, News at 10 with Chris Scull.
Our main story tonight, a huge announcement about Euro 2021 coverage. And our second story, how Steve Froggatt met his wife. So, top story is this, bit of hush please. To quote Tony Blair, I feel the hand of history on our shoulders. After 4 years of talking about the 90s, we here at Quickly Kevin have a huge announcement. For 1 month only, we've made the decision to go topical for Euro 2021. Josh, thoughts?
Yes. Well, we will admit this came from a conversation when the pubs reopened. We were sat in the rain and the rain was splashing off our pizzas, but genuinely, this is the most exciting thing we have done since Michael recorded the jingle to Do I Remember This Right? Basically, this all came about from something Chris said about what he loved about France 98.
Yeah, which is something that hasn't come up before. One of my favourite things about France 98 was the big breakfast coverage in the morning, like waking up and getting a bit of colour about what was going on in the tournament. They had a roving reporter. It just, for me, like France 98, some of my biggest memories are just presenting, discussing that tournament that was happening there and then. And I thought, we could do that. Listeners of this show could wake up in the morning and listen to us talk about it.
Yeah, I used to listen in Euro 96. I vividly remember every morning on Radio 1, Chris Evans would cover it and it would feel like so exciting and it would feel like it was the soundtrack to your summer. 2006, I was working at Dora the Explorer magazine and I had nothing to do during the World Cup. And it was the first ever time The Guardian did their podcast. They did their daily podcast and I listened to that every day. And it became as much a part of the World Cup as any of the other coverage. It became my World Cup. Michael, what has inspired you towards this decision?
Well, I would like to echo both of those sentiments. But also for me, it's about growing up in the 90s, I would get chastised in the summers for spending far too much time playing Championship Manager. And in particular, in the later editions, messing around with a data editor. You know, people would say, what are you doing? You're wasting your time on that game. Why don't you get a job or a girlfriend or pass your driving test? And this is a chance for me to tell all of those people that I was preparing for the biggest announcement of my life 25 years later.
So we want to be your 2021 Big Breakfast, Chris Evans Breakfast Show, or dare we say it, Guardian Football Daily. We have decided we're going to take everything you love about Quickly Kevin and for 1 month only, bringing it into the present day at Euro 2021.
And I've really cemented this decision by the fact that I've bought myself, my wife and my one-year-old daughter England kits. That's how much I'm going into this. We will begin next week with the first of our two preview episodes. And then once the tournament starts, three podcasts per week throughout the tournament, each recorded the night before release. Because we are, let's face it, going to be bloody topical now.
On top of this, you know those quite boring games in the tournament that you have on in the background, and you're watching them, but what you want to be doing is watching them with your mates or your favourite podcasters. Well, now you can. We will be doing watch-alongs of matches throughout the tournaments. For certain games, join us on Zoom or, you know, whatever technology it is, to watch the match with us and our special guests, beginning with England's friendly against Romania on Sunday the 6th of June, and then again for France v Spain in week one of the tournament, plus more soon-to-be-announced fixtures.
Yeah, and just so we don't miss out on the 90s completely, we will also be running the previously announced Championship Manager Euro 96 tournament. So that'll be 8 Quickly Kevin regulars, including us three, will face off against 8 Quickly Kevin fan club members as we recreate Euro 96 on Championship Manager. It's not to be missed. And if you want a chance of taking part, you need to make sure you've signed up to the Quickly Kevin fan club by Wednesday the 2nd of June to be eligible for the draw.
And so I guess this is the moment we might give you a little bit of a tease of our punditry team this summer. So across our podcast and watch-alongs, we're going to be joined by our favourite cast of Quickly Kevin friends. So your lineup looks a little bit like this: Matt Ford, Ivo Graham, Tom Crane, Tom Parry, Nish Kumar, and many more will be dropping in to keep the spirits up and convince us that England, or brackets, Wales or Scotland, may win this tournament. Plus, there's going to be a few wild cards and people in there that have been to major tournaments as players, broadcasters, or indeed, maybe even Italian 90 mascot Ciao might be turning up, maybe.
But don't worry, we won't be asking them whether Harry Kane should be playing up front on his own in a one or two. Instead, we will be asking, what is it like to room with Steve Hodge? This is still Quickly Kevin, after all.
And to give you an idea of our booking plans, genuinely, just yesterday, we were rejected by Uri Geller, who, in his words, said, I don't do podcasts. So that is a flavour where we're casting this rod out.
That's who we're trying to book. That's who we're trying to book. Also, please do not worry if you hate England. We will be supporting all of the home nations. We'll have representatives of Scotland and Wales on the panel as well. It isn't just for England fans, which is good. But, Michael, why are we so excited about Quickly Kevin above all the podcasts available during the World Cup?
Well, one of the many reasons we're excited is that all of this, we are confident, will be nothing like what any of the other TV, radio, newspapers and podcasts are offering throughout the tournament. We're going to be focusing on all of the things that Quickly Kevin fans and us care about.
So some of the things we'll be talking about: expect us to analyse the kits, the BBC and ITV theme tunes, commentary teams, mascots, Kasper Schmeichel being chipped, parallels to 90s tournaments. Weird things that happened to Michael as a child. And I will be insisting, and Michael and Josh don't know this yet, that somehow we feature the commentary of Andy Carroll's goal against Sweden in the Euros in our opening titles. Plus, stories of us watching the game in Josh's garden / fan park, and of course, getting drunk as the tournament progresses.
Should be clear, expect us not to talk about false nines, double pivots, the German school, the financial workings of UEFA, or expected goals. We have no interest or knowledge of those.
I am so excited about this. It's our opportunity to make a topical football show in the spirit of Quickly Kevin. It couldn't be more exciting. This could potentially be the best month of our lives, people.
Far better than 1966, because that was hugely overrated.
And if all of that wasn't enough, there's also going to be a huge bounty of Quickly Kevin and 90s Football prizes to give away during the tournament, including a new batch of Lettersford Town football shirts are on their way soon. And we have done the mad thing of giving me the keys to the Quickly Kevin bank account and £1,000 to spend on an array of 90s football goodies, signed stuff, merch, rare stuff.
Now, we also need to admit that we have made a slight error in planning. Now, seeing as we only came up with this idea 3 weeks ago, and by that point, everyone else had got all their sponsors and partnerships to finance their tournament, we have failed hugely to get any financial backing. And on top of this, we've invested in paying guests, getting someone to edit overnight, technical fees I don't understand for the watch-alongs, as I said, Michael's eBay addiction. Plus, Chris, what have you spent £200 on?
I've spent £200 on getting our theme remixed, especially for this major topical tournament. Do you want to hear a bit of it?
Yes, please.
Here we go. There we go. Listen to that. So, listen, in an effort not to lose thousands of pounds while giving ourselves loads of extra work, when I've got a job, Josh has got a two-week-old baby, Michael is spending all of his time defending Peter Schmeichel on social media, we need help.
Monday's episodes will be available on our normal feeds for free, but Wednesday's and Friday's episodes and the watch-alongs will be available for XJ8 Patreon subscribers. The Championship Manager Tournament is available to all Patreon subscribers, so don't worry, tripees.
Go on, chuck us a tenner for just the price of a couple of London pints. You're going to get 13 podcasts, numerous watch-alongs, Championship Manager rerun of Euro 96 prizes, and lots more.
The perfect soundtrack to the perfect summer. These are memories you will have forever. This is a reason for your summer not to be built on memories of Danny Murphy and Mark Pugac, but instead on Matt Ford, Ivo Graham, and numerous mentions of Yuri Geller, who will not be replying because he doesn't do podcasts.
Plus, on top of all of that, you get access to hours and hours of exclusive Patreon-only episodes that are already there, including the first 7 episodes of the chapter-by-chapter Steve Bruce read-along with Ivo Graham. There's Quickly Kevin Film Club episodes of Escape to Victory, A Shot at Glory, and Mike Bassett, England Manager. All of the extended Patreon versions of the normal episodes. And everyone who is a Patreon at the beginning of July will be in line for three pieces of QK merchandise that are being sent out in one big bundle. We were going to send them out 4 times a year. We realized logistically it's an absolute nightmare. So we're going to send them all out once after the tournament.
Now, we know signing up for Patreon isn't possible for everyone, and we will still be putting out the regular series of Quickly Kevin throughout the year as always. But for those of you that have signed up or are going to sign up, we'd also like to say a massive thank you for your support, as it allows us to make even more episodes of the show we love. I'll be honest with you, footballers do not do anything without a pound note in their pocket. We could not do it without the likes of you, because that private detective team Michael's had tracking David Batty for the last 3 years, that does not come cheap.
And you know, I was offering big bucks to Yuri Geller and it still wasn't enough. So
it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough.
Quote unquote, I don't do podcasts. He hates the platform.
He doesn't do podcasts. I'll be honest with you, Chris. It's the only positive financial use this podcast has had in the last 3 weeks is Yuri Geller turning down our money.
If you run a podcast and you want Yuri Geller on it, dream on. Otherwise, if you want a summer full of Quickly Kevin content, 3 episodes a week and everything we talked about, just get yourself over to patreon.com/quicklykevin. Sign up, and I promise you, you won't regret it, especially if you enjoyed Big Breakfast coverage of France 98.
Chris, have we got time for any more 90s o'clock news?
We are well over schedule, so sadly we do not have time to discuss how Steve Froggatt met his wife. And on that, someone came up to me in the street. I haven't even told you this. Someone came up to me in the street, I was walking through London, and asked me how Steve Froggatt met his wife. And I told them, and they couldn't believe it.
And then you had to kill them. Okay, the end of series quiz is always one of my favourite episodes. This is Quickly Kevin, end of season quiz.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
It's time for the end of season quiz, which means I'm handing over the reins to our master of ceremonies, Michael Marden.
Yes, as is tradition to close out the series, we've got the loosely themed 90s football quiz. So this series, Josh will be joined by comedian and Quickly Kevin debutante George Lewis. And Chris, you'll be joined by goalkeeper, comedian and choir boy Lloyd Griffith.
Yes.
You confident, George?
I'm getting very nervous. I get very nervous with quizzes. It's.
Do you? Oh, that's a
worry. I feel like I feel like humiliation is just the thing that I try to escape. I played five-a-side the other night for the first time in 3 years, and I remember beforehand I asked what the standard was like, and he went mixed. So I thought that means there's going to be some shit players there. Within 3 minutes, it had become mixed because I turned up. It was awful. I was just trying to avoid humiliation. But I reckon I get a good start and we're...
good solid start. Yeah. Get some numbers under the belt. Yeah.
That's the thing. You can't recreate the tension of a good quiz, can you? It's like penalty shootout.
No.
You can practice them all you want, but when it comes to the dance, you just can't recreate that.
Yes. Like a penalty shootout. Peter Shilton with a quiz, he will get the right answer after it's been given. That's what he does.
Right. Now, before I start, we should add the usual disclaimer that there will probably be a lot of factual inaccuracies. So please, please don't email me. Don't tweet me. It's just a bit of fun, guys. Now, you're mostly playing for pride and bragging rights. But as an added bonus, the winners will get to pick which song plays out at the end of the series. Okay. Are you all ready?
Yes.
That is big.
Trying out a new catchphrase. Let's get quizzical.
Oh, really nice.
Also, I like the way you, and obviously the listeners won't be able to see this, but you moved your glasses at the end of that catchphrase as well.
Very Eric Morecambe.
Right, so the first round is called Big Man, Little Man. Now, as a tribute to great striking partnerships of the 90s, Chris and Lloyd and George and Josh will be required to work together to form a formidable quiz partnership. I will ask a series of questions where the answer is a number. The team closest to the correct answer will win the point. However, seeing as we're doing this remotely and the teams aren't able to confer, this is how it will work. Each player will write down their answer on a piece of paper. When prompted, they will reveal their guess. I will then add both the numbers from each team together and divide by two to get the average. That will then be the answer for that team. Here is your first question. Prolific goal-scoring goalkeepers were rife throughout the 90s. But can you tell me, according to Wikipedia, how many goals combined did José Luis Chilavert and René Higuita score in their careers? So I want the combined total of career goals for both keepers, and that's at club and international level.
René Higuita, I don't see him as a goal scorer so much as a guy that just leaves his area a bit.
Sorry, surely he's known as the bloke that did the scorpion kick. Leaves his area.
No, but I mean, like, I didn't know he scored lots of goals. I thought he was more of a kind of, in many ways, just a precursor to Manuel Neuer. Do you know what I mean? That kind of sweeper-keeper.
Yeah.
Arrogant keeper.
Yeah. But I don't want that to influence anyone's guesses.
He took free kicks, didn't he?
Oh, did he? Right.
But he wasn't very good at them, I should point out.
Did he take penalties?
He was called...
He must have taken penalties.
Yeah.
Weird that that's such a big South American thing. They're all so flushed with the confidence from copious amounts of cocaine, isn't it?
That's it is. Higuita, I watched a documentary about Andreas called The Two Escobars, and Higuita got put in prison for being involved in a kidnap plot, I think.
God.
Yes.
So don't you know, let that inform your answer as you want.
Wasn't he arrested for scoring 30 goals in a season?
Does everyone have a number?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to start with you, please, Josh.
62.
62 in total.
I don't know what those reactions mean.
George, what is your total?
27.
Oh, mate.
Oh, God. No.
Well, I know, sorry, I know that one of them scored at least double that.
Oh, my God.
Lloyd, what's your number?
I went really big. 96.
Flipping it.
96?
I'm not saying they didn't take it seriously in South America, per se, but, I mean, yeah. You've got a bloke who also kidnapped someone, apparently. So if he's going, hello, mate, I'm going to take that free kick, you're going, yeah, no, you can absolutely take it, yeah, because I don't want to end up in the back of a...
I'm now hoping it's about 12, the answer.
Oh, gosh, it's me.
Come on, mate.
Okay, so... Josh and George, your final answer, your combined total is 44.5.
Yeah, that's low. That's low from both of us, really.
Lloyd and Chris, your combined total is 60.5.
Come on.
I can tell you the correct combined total, career goals for Chilavert and Higuita, was 98.
Bloody hell!
Lloyd!
Well done!
I knew that Higuita had scored a lot, and I knew that Chilavert was known for scoring a lot, but I didn't know how many.
Higuita scored 44, and Chilavert scored 54.
Oh, my word.
Cool, I'm done. Thanks very much for having me, guys.
Question number two. In total, excluding penalty shootouts, how many goals were scored at Euro 96? Right, so we will start with Chris this time, please.
I think it's 169 goals scored at USA in 94. And we're basically a round less in Euro 96. So I'm going with 149.
Oh, he's had a fucking nightmare and I love it.
Oh, what? Was it 189?
Well, there's a lot less teams at Euro 96. There was only 16 teams.
Oh, shit, the bed.
I've gone quite similar and no workings out. I've gone 141.
Oh, welcome back to one all here, George.
Don't go speaking too soon, mate.
I think I'll drag it down. Don't worry.
Okay.
George, what's your number, please?
I'm on 167.
Oh, you're fucking kidding me, mate! I can't believe you've gone that high. You're
it's okay,
fine.
I've got Josh.
It's fine. Unless Josh has gone four. Josh has gone four goals.
71.
No, more than that.
There was only, because there'd be six games in each group. That's 24 games. Four quarterfinals. That's 28. Two semis in a final. 31 games. 2.5 goals a game.
So, Chris and Lloyd, your average answer was 145 goals scored.
That's crazy. Can I ask why, Chris, you knew how many goals were scored at USA 94?
It was on the video. The video was called 169 goals at USA 94, which I had.
That's what the video's got.
Such a
it's
weird.
It's written on the cover in my mind.
Is that excluding Diana Ross, obviously, because she missed?
Josh and George, your average score was 119. I can tell you the correct answer was 64.
Oh, wow. That's low.
Good. Very low.
64, is that it?
That's barely two goals a game.
Just over two goals a game.
It was actually 159 goals at USA 94, so I fucked that up as well.
Okay, question number three. The opening goal of that tournament was scored by Alan Shearer in a one-all draw with Switzerland.
Correct. 1 point.
But in what minute of the game was that goal scored?
Fucking. Oh, sorry. We'll have to bleep that out.
And also, as well, it's such an aggressive swear word for what is quite a jovial question.
Well, do you know what? It was more aimed at the question.
Oh, I've got a number in my head, but I don't think it's right.
Lloyd's collapse, Chris, of confidence since Chris, showboating with the mathematics of Rennie Higuita's career. Has...
Chris, if you go,
No.
No conferring allowed. We will start. We'll start with George, please.
Minute number 19.
Oh!
19. Okay. Josh?
18.
Oh! Okay. Interesting.
Okay. Chris?
But that's not based on a knowledge, other than that I knew it was the first half.
Yeah, because I remember Switzerland scoring the second half at that goal to the left. So it was definitely first half. And Shearer scores to the left. So I think it's 30. I think it was later on.
Okay, 30. Lloyd, what have you gone for, please?
I've gone 11.
Jesus.
Bloody hell,
actually, that might work out.
Exactly the same.
So Josh and George are on 18.5. Chris and Lloyd are on 20.5.
Let's hope it was 19.
It was the 90th minute.
I can tell you the correct time that Alan Shearer's goal was scored was the 23rd minute.
Oh, come on, Lloyd.
Legend.
We're on flames here.
And finally this round, and you might need a calculator for this one. There were 8 host venues during that tournament. They were Wembley, Old Trafford, Anfield, Villa Park, Ellen Road, Hillsborough, the City Ground, and St James's Park. At the time of the tournament, what was the combined total capacity of all 8 grounds?
Could you just give us those grounds again?
Yeah, Wembley, Old Trafford, Anfield, Villa Park, Ellen Road, Hillsborough, the City Ground, and St James's Park. So we want the combined total capacity at the time of the tournament for those 8 grounds.
Interesting when noting down to see, I've never noticed this before, that St James's Park has got the same initials as Sarah Jessica Parker. SJP. There we go. Bonus point?
No.
This is such a great question.
Yeah, beyond Wembley, I'm just going to kind of go with a mean, I think.
That's exactly what I've done.
No, I'm trying to go back to a sticker book.
You're going to count them.
Okay.
Right. Everyone got a number?
Yeah.
We'll start with you, please, Josh.
340,000.
Okay.
George?
I think it's surely it's quite a bit higher than that, is it?
560,000. Absolutely.
Whoa!
Absolute lunatic.
What are you doing? It wasn't standing.
Absolute lunatic.
That's incredible.
Idiot.
So I've gone for an average of 42,000 times 8, which is 336,000.
Oh, welcome to the... Oh, George.
Yeah, I've just gone from memory of what the actual capacities were, and I've just gone for 384,000.
I'm happy with that.
384,000.
Can we just dig into George's maths, please? I'd love you to show your workings. What was your number, George?
So, what does it say? 560,000.
Yeah.
560.
That's based on Wembley being 200,000. And then a median of 30 for the rest.
How have you reached that number? Have you just...
So that's 8 times... is that 8 times... Is that 8
I didn't realise
we were
doing
000?
Cass's countdown today.
It's 8 times 70.
Oh, fucking Yeah, that's 8 times 70. Health and safety was lax back then, wasn't it? Some cram people in.
I still think they were ticketed. Like, definitely ticketed.
Are you thinking of Glastonbury, George?
So, Josh and George, your combined average was 450,000. And Chris and Lloyd, your combined average was 360,000.
Christopher Lloyd?
Lovely stuff.
I can tell you the correct capacity was 360,858.
We're absolutely turned at home.
Pretty good.
Not for any, but can I? Because I actually wrote down the stadiums and then the actual numbers of what I thought they were.
No one wants to see it, Lloyd.
Wait, Lloyd, that's something. Take a photo. We really need some good Instagram content. Yeah. We'll pop it on there. Run us through the answers, Michael.
Okay, so Wembley Stadium was 76,567. Old Trafford at the time was 55,000.
I put 56.
Anfield was 42,730.
I put 48.
Villa Park was 40,310.
I put 45.
Ellen Road was 40,204.
I put 42.
Hillsborough, 39,859.
I said 38.
The City Ground was 30,539. And St James's Park was 36,649.
That's where we're wrong.
I picture that bigger, don't you?
Yeah, I put 50 for St James's Park. Even before the big old canopy. I thought he was still a big old boy.
Okay, next round is a familiar favourite, starting 11. In this round, I will give a classic football match from the 90s. Each team will then take it in turn to name a player from either side who appeared in that game. If at any point you name a player who did not appear during the match, you are eliminated, and that includes both used and unused substitutes. The game in question...
It's a brutal version of brutal house rules this year.
Well, it's like prison rules, isn't it? We're messing around here. There's no two shots on the black here. The game in question is the final match of the last tournament England ever won, Le Tournoi. 10th of June, 1997, England versus Brazil. And George, would you like to kick things off, please?
All right, Gary Neville.
Good, solid stuff. Oh, no.
Why is he clicking? Why is he looking?
Unfortunately.
Oh, for the love of
that. You're kidding me.
But that's not your fault, George.
Gary Neville came on a sub in the 20th minute.
Oh, prison rules of.
You are eliminated.
Oh, I'm taking off my jacket.
What are prison rules?
In previous versions of the game, if you name a used substitute, you get to pick again. But in this version of the game, you are immediately eliminated.
You are assaulted in the showers.
Okay, so Lloyd, you're up next, please.
Well, I'm, and it could be for either team.
Yeah, either team.
Yeah, so I'm going to go for the goal scorer, which I believe was Romario.
Oh, wow!
Correct.
I didn't even know this game existed.
Okay, Josh, your turn.
Alan Shearer.
Correct.
We're saying either team, right?
Either team, yeah.
Roberto Carlos.
Correct.
David Seaman.
Ah.
Correct.
Paul Gascoigne.
Correct.
Yes. Ooh. Go on, boy.
Taffarel.
Correct.
Yes. Cafu.
Correct.
In a way, the Brazilians are easier because you can't think of the other options that could have been there. Do you know what I mean? It feels like you're limited so much.
Also, with Brazilians, you can just say Brazilian names and the likelihood is they play in the hope that, oh yeah, they played in 17 different tournaments. It's four different players. Graham Lasso.
Oh, that was...
Oh, good answer.
That was mine.
Correct.
Thank you. Who is it now?
Chris the Go.
Sol Campbell.
Correct.
Oh, come on. I'm just trying to think of that Brazil team that played in the following World Cup.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if this guy was injured, but I suppose that's the same for everyone. Teddy Sheringham.
Correct.
Well done, Josh.
Yeah, that was a tight one. That could have been anyone there.
Lloyd, over to you.
The original Ronaldo.
Correct.
That was a lucky guess.
Yeah. Tony Adams?
You posed that as if you were considering picking him. Are you picking him?
He's so serious.
Oh, he's playing mind games with me. Oh, he's got a bit... And I don't think he's injured. I think he's there. I think it's Tony Adams.
Incorrect.
Yes. Oh, very good. Right.
Over to you, Josh.
Who the fuck was playing in the Brazilian midfield that year? I'm going to go with Paul Ince.
Oh.
I don't think he's there.
Correct.
Yes. Oh my god!
Yeah, he's played, I think.
Brilliant, yeah.
I think there's some.
I can't believe this.
I think there's a mad striker who's playing in this for England. Oh no, sorry, I'm
Andy Carroll. Well, Sharon Shearer are playing, aren't they?
Martin Keown.
Oh.
Correct.
What? No.
That is incredible.
Lloyd, that's an astonishing.
That is incredible.
He came off in the 20th minute for Gary Neville. So
oh, did he?
He picked up an injury, yeah. I presume he's...
Presumably an injury, not a tactical substitution.
I think I know someone that played.
Okay. Rivaldo. Oh, no. He's gone.
Incorrect.
Oh,
Rivaldo didn't
Lloyd.
Play.
To be fair, Lloyd, you deserve that for Keown alone.
Am I right in saying...
that here he goes, showboating.
Phil Neville started and he Gary didn't. Yes. Yeah.
Bloody hell.
What was the full Brazilian team?
Full Brazilian team was Taffarel, Cafu, Aldair, Celio Silva, Denilson, Roberto Carlos, Flavio Conceição, Dunga, Ronaldo, Leonardo, and Romário.
I didn't know if Dunga had retired.
Yeah. I'm sure Dunga's at France 98, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he must have been, yeah.
England was, I think they must have played five at the back. Seaman, Keown, Campbell, Ince, Southgate, Lasso, Phil Neville, Paul Gascoigne, Shearer, Sheringham, Paul Scholes.
Scholes played, didn't he? Yeah.
Scholes.
Time for the next round. This round is called Who Am I? So I will give you a series of clues about an iconic 90s figure. If at any point you think you know who that person is, you can buzz in and guess. If you guess correctly after the first clue, your team will receive 5 points. If you guess correctly after the second clue, your team will receive 4 points, and so on and so forth. However, if you buzz in and guess incorrectly at any stage, you will be eliminated from that round. Okay.
Both your whole team or just you?
Just you as an individual.
Okay.
Express yourself and play your own game, George.
Yeah, we
don't
can
worry.
Fall for one of us to absolutely go for it if we need to.
Clue number one. I was born in Lincoln on the 9th of March, 1973. Clue number two. I began my career at Aston Villa.
Chris
has buzzed.
Oh, what am I doing?
You've got to say it quickly if you buzz. You've got to say it quickly if you buzz. Come on.
Dalian Atkinson.
I'm afraid that's incorrect. Clue number two. I began my career at Aston Villa, first as a trainee between 1989 and 1991, and then as a pro from 1991 to 1994. Clue number three. Establishing myself as a skillful, predominantly left-sided winger, I was sold to Wolves in 1994.
Josh. Steve Froggatt.
Josh. Correct.
Oh, yes. Well done, Josh.
I would not have got that.
Lovely.
The correct answer was Steve Froggatt. It would have been clue number four. Would have been in 1998. I signed for Coventry for a fee of £1.9 million and received a surprise call up to Kevin Keegan's England squad in November 1999, more than 6 years after my previous England under 21 cap. And clue number five. To this day, it still remains a mystery how I met my wife. Okay, next person. Same rules. Who am I? Okay, fingers on buzzers. Everyone's back in. Clue number one. I was born in Corbridge on the 31st of December, 1960.
I've never heard of Corbridge.
No, neither have I.
Clue number two. I was capped 8 times for England Youth and once for England B. Clue number three. After signing for Norwich for a transfer fee of somewhere in the region of £125,000, I scored an own goal on my debut, but then went on to be named Norwich Player of the Year that season.
Chris. Brian Gunn?
Incorrect. Clue number four. In 1987, I signed for Manchester United and went on to play over 300 league games for the club, winning 3 FA Cups, 3 Premier League titles.
Lloyd? Is it Mike Phelan?
Incorrect.
We're out. I should have waited, sorry.
I signed for Manchester United and went on to play over 300 league games for the club, winning 3 FA Cups, 3 Premier League titles, but never received a full England cap.
About Josh? Is it Steve Bruce?
It is Steve Bruce.
Yes.
He's older than you think, isn't he?
Yeah. I think she's like 30.
No.
I was going, that is the same year my mum was born. Who is that footballer?
How is Steve Bruce 30 in 1990? He played late, didn't he?
Strong round there from Josh and George.
Wow. I'm just reading Bentner's autobiography, and Steve Bruce comes across brilliantly.
Does he?
Yeah, he's the only person in the whole book that he doesn't slag off. He loves him.
I've got people that are friends with him, and they absolutely adore him. Absolutely adore Steve Bruce.
These are not the kind of stories we're looking for on this podcast.
So it's time for the final round of the first half, 90s football mastermind. Each player will have 90 seconds to answer 10 questions on their chosen specialist subject. 1 point for each correct answer. This time round, George and Lloyd will play, and in the second half, and Josh will play. Okay. First in the spotlight is Lloyd, who has chosen goalkeepers from the 90s as his mastermind subject. Lloyd, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm nervous, mate.
Your time starts now. Who, despite recent attempts to destroy his career with baseless accusations of his shortcomings, is without a doubt the best goalkeeper of the 90s?
Peter Schmeichel.
Correct.
Jesus.
Which goalkeeper conceded only one goal for the entire tournament while guiding his team to an FA Cup 1995 victory?
Peter Schmeichel.
Neville Southall. When Blackburn signed Tim Flowers from Southampton in 1993, he became the most expensive goalkeeper in English football. How much was his transfer fee?
Was it £1.25 million?
It was £2.4 million.
I double it, and you're there, aren't you?
Roberto Baggio famously missed the crucial penalty in the USA 94 World Cup final, but who was the opposition goalkeeper facing him in that tournament?
Taffarel.
Correct. And which legendary shot stopper was in goal for the Italians?
Pagliuca.
Correct. Who was the first goalkeeper to win a domestic cup double in English football in this decade? So that's the league and FA Cup.
Yeah. So, I'm going to say Peter Schmeichel.
Incorrect. It was David Seaman. Old Safe Hands was England number one for the France 98 World Cup. Can you name the two other net tenders Glenn Hoddle took to the tournament?
David James.
Incorrect. Nigel Martin and Tim Flowers, and your time is up.
Oh, that's actually a very disappointing round.
I love net tenders.
Lloyd, you scored at three.
That's not great.
It's not. They weren't easy. They were not easy. Tim Flowers fee. If you remembered that, that would be a huge call.
I thought, after the first question, I thought they were all going to be Peter Schmeichel.
Yeah, so did I.
Okay, so next up in the Mastermind hot seat is George. So, George, your topic is Manchester United in the 90s, and your time starts now. What was the first trophy Alex Ferguson won in the 90s?
Oh, it was the FA Cup.
Correct. Success in this competition led to their place in the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup. Which striker scored two goals in their 2-1 win over Barcelona in the final?
It was Mark Hughes.
Correct. Who was Manchester United's record signing during the 90s?
I think it would have been Andy Cole for $7 million.
Incorrect. It was Dwight York for $6 million. Who was their record player sale of the decade when he was sold for £7 million in 1995?
I'm going to go with Paul Ince.
Correct. What was United's lowest league place finish of the decade?
I think it's either 6th or 7th. 7th.
It was 6th.
Oh.
How many Premier League titles did Alex Ferguson and his team win during the decade?
5.
Correct. What was Manchester United's biggest victory of the 90s?
9-1.
9-0 against Ipswich. And that is your time.
There were some good questions.
Pretty good. Yeah. Solid rounds. I don't know if the quality of the questions will be the same for football songs or Chris's topic.
So that whistle means it's half time. While the teams go off for an inspirational team talk and I work out the scores, here is a quick word from our sponsors.
After 90 minutes of sheer hell, you're gonna get thirsty. This is new isotonic Lucozade Sport. It gets to your thirst fast. Isotonic means it's in balance with your body fluids.
But I'll tell you, you can tell him now if you're watching it, we're still fighting for this title. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Okay, welcome back to part two of the quiz. I can reveal at the end of part one at halftime, Chris and Lloyd, you have 8 points.
Great.
Josh and George, you have 9 points.
Oh, that is amazing.
Very
tough. Oh, my God. How are we behind? That totally affects my team talk.
Okay, the next round is called the Never Ending Quiz, and this is all about questions that have been set by the Quickly Kevin fan club members over on the forum. A member there called Secret round. Squirrel started a brilliant thread where they basically have a never ending 90s football quiz. I've plundered the questions from here partly to pay tribute and also because, you know, it's less work and I don't get blamed if the facts are wrong. So, I will ask a question. The next player in line will attempt to answer. If they guess correctly, their team gets the point and we proceed to the next question. If they get it wrong, it moves round for the next player to guess until someone gets it right or nobody does and we move to the next question. There's 1 point for each correct answer. We toss the coin before the quiz and Josh, you are up first.
Okay.
Which Newcastle midfielder was the uncapped player named in England's Le Tournoi squad who never went on to make an appearance for the full national side?
Oh, jeez Louise. I believe Rob Lee must have played for the national side. But the other options are pretty sparse. They're what? they're Lee Clark or Rule Fox? So maybe I go back with... No, but Lee Clark.
Correct.
Well done.
Wow. Okay, question number two, starting with you, Chris. In the 1989-1990 season, six players scored hat-tricks, but only one of them did it twice. Can you name him?
He's really... the answer's no, surely.
Gary Lineker?
Correct.
Oh my gosh.
Come on.
Question number three, starting with you, George. The infamous UEFA Cup Winners' Cup was abolished in 1999, but which Czech midfielder was the last player to score a goal in the competition?
Karol Poborský?
Not a bad guess.
Incorrect.
Oh,
so, Nedved. Lloyd?
Oh. I'm going to go for Nedved, if that's all right.
Oh, that is all a bit... That's all a bit fishy.
Why? What happened?
We all what's heard Skulls say...
There will be a gentleman's agreement that if Lloyd was going to say Nedved, we will accept his answer.
Yeah, 100% I'm going to say go for Nedved.
Okay.
Skull, I hope you can sleep at night.
Sorry. He didn't hear!
The correct answer... I wish I had the speed of thought to make up a Czech midfielder's name now, and it wasn't Nedved. Yeah. The correct answer was Pavel Nedved.
Yeah.
It was like only Patrick Berger left, really, wasn't it? Yeah.
Okay. Question number four, starting with you, Lloyd. Sheffield Wednesday and Middlesbrough hold the distinction of reaching both cup finals in a single season and losing both in the 90s. But which player holds the unfortunate record of being a member of both of those squads during their historically unfortunate seasons?
Great question. No idea on the answer.
I'm just going to go for... Yeah, and I don't think this is the right answer. I don't think this person played for Middlesbrough. Des Walker. Which is obviously wrong.
Incorrect.
It's going to be someone that I didn't know played for Sheffield Wednesday, presumably. Like Steve Vickers.
Incorrect. Chris?
I wonder if it's one of the goalkeepers. A sub-goalkeeper. I can never remember his name. Ben something. No. What about, I'll tell you what, Gianluca Festa.
Oh, come on!
Incorrect.
I worried for a moment then.
So, over to you, George.
I have no idea on this one. Carlton Palmer.
Incorrect. The correct answer was Nigel Pearson.
Oh my god. Not a million years would I have got that.
It did cross my mind.
No way would I have got that.
Question number five. So we're back to starting with you, Josh. Which Chelsea midfielder scored the last Premier League goal of the 90s?
Gus Poyet.
Incorrect. Chris, over to you.
Chelsea midfielder.
Dennis Wise.
Incorrect. George, over to you.
Don't know what year he left, but I'll go with... It's between two. I'll go with Gianluca Vialli.
Guy.
Incorrect. Lloyd?
These are so tough, aren't they?
It weren't Jody Morris, was it?
It was Jody Morris.
Oh! Lloyd!
This is a comeback. This
Lloyd,
is a comeback.
Well done.
Question number six, starting with you, Chris. Who was the first Dutchman to play in the Premier League?
Sorry, can I ask, does that include Division 1?
Premier League.
So there was only one Dutchman in the first year of the Premier League?
You think there was only one?
If there was more than one, then they were both started at the same time.
Well, they might not have started the first game of the Premier League.
Oh, my God.
This is so difficult. What the
bloody Nora?
Dutch player. I've got an idea. Is it me first?
No, it's Chris first.
I've just got such a good guess in me.
I don't even have a really
I think it's going to come round to you, if I'm honest, Josh.
Yeah. I can't even...
Three rude hullets and then we're at me.
I don't know. Mark Overmars.
Incorrect. George, any guesses?
Yeah, I've got a guess, but I feel like I'm going to be going too late. Dennis Bergkamp.
That's close.
Incorrect.
Close to the money. Lloyd. Mark Overmars.
I'm going to go for Ed Dehoy.
Incorrect. Josh, last man standing.
I think it's Hans Sagers.
It was Hans Sagers.
Yes!
Lovely!
Okay, question number seven, penultimate question this round. Starting with you, George. The professional foul was introduced in 1990, but which QK favourite was the first player to be sent off in the English top flight for this reason?
I don't know.
Batty.
Batty is a solid guess.
It's a good guess. It's incorrect.
Ah!
Lloyd, over to you.
I've lost my guess.
It's a random guess. I'm going to go for Rufus Brevett.
Incorrect. Josh?
Gary Mabbott.
Another good guess, but incorrect. Finally, Chris?
Is mine the final guess?
Yeah.
So I actually think it's David Seaman, but I'm going to say Steve Froggatt.
The correct answer...
Don't do this to me.
...is Steve... Bruce.
Oh, of course it is.
Lovely.
Lovely bloke. Lovely all things bloke. Considered, lovely bloke.
And finally, beginning with you, Lloyd, who scored the last hat-trick of the 1990s?
In the Premier League.
In the Premier League.
I'm going to go for Andy Cole.
Incorrect.
Ian Wright.
Incorrect.
Alan Shearer.
Incorrect. Finally, George.
Thierry Henry.
Incorrect. The correct answer was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the 5-1 win against Everton on the 4th of December 1999. He actually scored 4 goals in that game.
He manages Man United now. Do you see that? Saw it the other day. I was like, wow, that's mad.
But you never put the two and two together because he never mentions he played for them, does he?
Time for the next round. It's the second incarnation of starting 11. You all know how it works. I'll give you a classic match. You try and name a player from that game. If they didn't play or if they came on as a sub, you are eliminated. Last team standing wins a point. Sticking with England as we're heading into an international tournament, Terry Venables' last match in charge of England was the semi-final defeat to Germany at Euro 96. But that's too obvious a choice, and also we've probably done it before at least once. So your match this time round is Venables' first ever game as England manager. and it was England versus Denmark on the 9th of March 1994. Lloyd, you are first to pick this time.
Hi there, thanks for having me. I would like to go for your friend and mine, Mr. David Seaman.
Correct. George, you're next.
Stu Pearce.
Oh no, I think that's wrong.
Incorrect.
Oh George! He's got a pair. He's got a starting 11 pair.
A double duck.
Shit, man.
It's your confidence I'm doing it with as well, isn't it?
Yeah, just Stuart Pearce. Right, let's move on. Who's next?
Let's get to the interesting bit. Come on.
John Jensen. Said that way, didn't I? John Jensen.
Correct.
Peter Schmeichel.
Correct. Lloyd.
Laudrup.
No, we're not having that. Absolutely not allowed.
He said Laudrup.
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 I'm happy to pick a brother.
Yeah.
Laudrup. We need to pick a brother.
Laudrup M.
Oh, I would not have gone M.
Correct.
Oh, thank God. Are you going to go Laudrup B? Come
on. Is it
B? Where's your bottle?
It's Chris now.
Is it?
Oh, where's your bottle now, Chris?
What's your record, Lloyd? Should we do it?
I mean,
Put your balls on the line.
Yeah, FIFA balls.
FIFA balls.
I guess if you get it, then it frees up a few more other players.
Yeah. Laudrup B.
Laudrup B.
Oh God, you should have put that on.
Surely you've got it up there.
He knew.
Correct.
Beforehand. Yeah. He's for Laudrup M. 1994.
Oh my God.
We don't even know who'd won the league that year. Who'd won the league? Man U,
yeah.
It's a difficult one because you've got a new manager coming in Terry. He's going to make big changes.
I didn't know you knew him.
Terry V, I call him.
Yeah.
Venables T.
Venables T. Paul Ince.
Nah.
Correct. Lloyd, over to you.
I'm going to go for Lasso again. Please.
Correct.
Ooh.
Chris, your turn.
Gaza. Surely.
Correct. Josh?
Well, I think the best strike would still have been Alan Shearer at that point.
Is that your guess?
Yeah, that's not an unrelated opinion. it is my guess.
Correct.
Oh.
So, back with you, Lloyd.
So if Man United, I'm just trying to think of what the Man United starting lineup would have been that year.
Dennis Irwin played a lot of games in that championship winning team.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that's a good shout. Well, on the other side, I'm going to go for Paul Parker.
Ooh.
Correct.
Wow, well
correct.
Done.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's
well
really good
played.
Great answer.
So, Chris, your turn.
God. This is getting hard, isn't it? I think Darren Anderson's got to be in this team.
Oh, shout. Shout.
Correct.
Yes. Great. Tony Adams.
Correct.
Oh, my God. It's just tense old stuff, isn't it?
I think to complete that back four, and also with keeping the Man United famous song,
if it's Keown,
Come On Your Reds, I think that back four was Lasso, Parker, Adams, and I think his Man United, Steve Bruce's Man United teammate, Gary Pallister.
Oh,
that would be incredible.
Incorrect.
You are right.
Oh, whoa! Fuck.
Correct.
Deserve to win. I thought Chris said, I heard and like, my Zoom went a little bit, and I was like, oh God, I've got it. It's incorrect, but actually.
Wow, I don't even remember this game.
So Chris, over to you. There are two remaining England players.
One's a striker, right?
Yes.
I think I know who one of them is.
I'm going to go with Teddy Sheringham.
That is incorrect. Josh.
Fleming Poulsen, was that the name of one of the Danish players?
Out of nowhere with Fleming Poulsen.
It might have been, but he did not feature in this game.
Oh, fair enough.
So, Lloyd, you are the last man standing. You have won. Would you like to take a guess at any of the remaining players?
I've got a feeling of the last old guard, as it were, so from like the early 90s, did Venables still pick Platt?
Plowman.
He did.
Yeah,
he didn't choose Bardsley, did he?
He also started Peter Beardsley, yeah.
Bardsley, what the fuck am I about?
David Bardsley.
Yeah, David Platt and Peter Beardsley were the remaining. David Batty came on for Gascoigne, and Matt Letizia came on for Paul Ince.
Oh, sign of things to come for those two.
And then the remaining Denmark players, which we might have got one or two, Carsten Dethelfsen. Don't quote me on the pronunciation there. Mark Reaper, Jakob Kjellberg, Lars Olsen, Henrik Larsson, but obviously not the Swedish Henrik Larsson, Kim Vilfort, and Ben Christensen.
Oh, that was on another football quiz, the Henrik Larsson, and someone properly kicked off, and then they were like, turns out there's two. No, he's Swedish. There was one that played for Denmark, was there? Yeah. Okay, cool, cheers.
Okay, time for the final round of the quiz. It's the return of 90s football mastermind. Josh, you are next in the hot seat, and your mastermind subject is 90s football songs.
Done no research. There's no simple Wikipedia page on this.
Your time starts now. Recent guest of this pod, Suggs, was responsible for Chelsea's 1997 FA Cup song Blue Day, but which singer performed Middlesbrough's song that same year alongside comedian Bob Mortimer?
I pass.
Chris Rea. In Manchester United's chart-topping collaboration with Status Quo, Come On You Reds, who are the first and last players named when the current squad is sung in the first verse?
Mark Hughes, Lee Sharp.
Schmeichel and Giggs. The song famously went to number one, but how many weeks did it spend in the UK top 75 charts?
Oh, eight.
15. Purple Heather was the official Scotland song for Euro 96. Who was the singer?
Never heard of it in my life. Pass.
Which American player released an album in 1998?
Alexi Lalas.
Ginger. Alexi Lalas, correct. In 1999, Andy Cole released his single Outstanding. Oh. How many weeks did the track spend in the UK top 75?
None.
One. Oh. What was the name of Chris Waddle and Basil Boley's 1991 duet?
I don't know.
We've got a feeling. Which footballer's song from the 90s featured these lyrics? I'm the son of a miner, funkiest rhymer. Always
Paul
in
Gascoigne.
The news, my crew, Andy Cole. The soundtrack to Euro 96 and one of the best-selling UK singles of all time was Basile and Skinner's Three Lions. According to Wikipedia, excluding streams, to the nearest 100,000, how many copies has it sold in total?
I don't know, 800,000.
1.6 million. Oh.
That's almost the hardest impossible round I've
so
ever heard
big
on
it. Why did you pick that round?
Because I got my first three rejected.
Can I give you all a bonus question on that theme?
Yeah.
So, Come On You Reds, it was also number one in one other European country.
Oh.
Which country?
Sweden.
I was going to say, if Josh gets this, can he have 10 points? But you didn't get it. No, it's not Sweden.
I reckon Denmark, maybe?
It is Denmark.
Ireland. Well, yeah, because of, I presume because of Schmeichel. Yeah.
No points for Lloyd, obviously.
But I got the Pallister one through that Red Devil song, which my cousins used to sing all the fucking time.
So, currently, the scores are tied.
No.
No.
No, really? No. Chris, just pass them all and answer the last one, okay?
Yeah.
Chris, you require 1 point for the victory. Your mastermind topic is the life and times of Paul Daniels, or rather the Wikipedia page of Paul Daniels.
Oh,
are you ready?
Yeah. You'll walk this.
Your time starts now. What is Paul Daniels' real full name?
Newton Edward Daniels.
Correct.
Ah.
In what year did he marry his beautiful assistant, Debbie McGee?
1988.
Correct. Early in their relationship, they lived together in a house in Denham that once belonged to which James Bond star?
Roger Moore.
Correct. Which star sign is Paul Daniels?
Leo.
Aries. His big TV break came in 1970 when he finished runner-up on which iconic British TV talent show?
Opportunity Knocks. I didn't know that until I read it.
Correct. Really? What is Paul Daniels' personalised car number plate?
I know this.
Magic one. Yeah.
Correct. When Paul and Debbie appeared on the TV show Wife Swap, who did Debbie trade places with?
Vanessa Feltz.
correct. When filming a TV show in 2011, who threw a pizza at Paul that got stuck in his eye and forced him to go to hospital?
Sooty.
Correct.
Paul Daniels' Wikipedia is great.
What is the name of Paul Daniels' eldest child?
Paul Jr.
Correct. And finally, one of his most famous TV presenting gigs was for the daytime TV show Wipeout, which he hosted for 4 series. Who took over the role after he left?
I don't know, Stephen Malhern?
Monkhouse?
It was Bob Monkhouse. Congratulations, a comprehensive victory there.
Yeah. Oh. I'd say class told there. Fair enough. To have your football-based... your football-based masterminds rejected, only to watch someone walk it on Paul Daniels as a heartbreaking George the Double Duck. That was unfortunate.
Yeah, that's where you lost there, yeah. And on a total capacity Euro 96 in the millions. I think that's what it would
be. Can I try and claw it back? I've got a quick 90s anecdote for you.
Yeah.
Josh, I may have told you this before on a long drive, but so a while ago I used to play five-a-side sort of every week when I lived in London. And one week this lad turned up and he kept saying, he was a bit of a gobshite, this lad, and he kept talking about all these footballers that he knew, and no one really liked him, this lad, but he kept promising to bring along a player. And then every time he'd turn up and he'd go, cancelled on me last minute, or they weren't allowed to play. And then one time we turned up, I was a bit late, and I turned up and everyone was just really serious. And they were like, George, come on, we've got to get going. I'm thinking, this is a bit weird. I went in, they introduced me to this new lad, this French guy, and they said, George, Bobby, George.
Bobby George?
It was Bobby. Yeah. It was Darth Vader, Bobby George. He was terrible. And it was Robert Pires. And he played our indoor five-a-side game.
And how good was he?
Incredible. He was absolutely fantastic. He didn't look like he moved the whole time. He was always in space. He passed it into the net, and he came again the next week. He played twice.
He came twice.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Do you want to know a little story? I regularly text Robert Pires on the daily basis. So,
And Lloyd's done me again.
Sorry, mate. I'm absolutely done you there, but we are good friends.
Bobby and I are good friends.
Ask him if he remembers it, Lloyd.
Oh yeah.
Whereabouts was it?
In Highgate. Well, Highgate. I've got a photo of him with us lot.
Have you? Oh, can we put it on our Instagram?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am just not to trump you, but it's not to trump you. I played golf a few months back with Tom Rosenthal, and as we were about to tee off,
I don't think that is a trump, actually.
Tom Rosenthal was sort of Jim Rosenthal, therefore that works, is it not? For this we started to tee off, and then Andy Cole just starts coming down, like with his mates. We're like, actually, you can tee off in front of us if you're right, mate, because we're going to be absolutely awful. And actually, turns out they were pretty awful. So a lovely little 90s connection as well.
Ask Robert Pires if he remembers playing five-a-side.
I can't text Robert Pires that.
Come on,
mate. Do you mind playing?
It'll
do you remember
more
playing
detail.
Five? Yeah, and he'll be.
Robert, do you remember playing football once?
Do you remember playing football in North London once?
Yeah, I do.
So I chat to him a bit through various things. And then I was just saying, I went for a breakfast with Arsene the other day, and him and Arsene are like really good friends. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, what does Arsene Wenger have for breakfast? And it was, Robert, when he told me this, was not joking. Went, the other day he had a black coffee and just a baguette with butter. And I was like, that was the most French thing ever. And I was like, seriously? He went, yeah, just a black coffee or a baguette with butter. That's it. I was like, he's so fucking French.
Also,
like, it's a cliche.
You think that is way against the man that's reinvigorated the English diet.
Yeah, it's quite heavy. I wouldn't have followed him down.
It's been an absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you very much. We will see you again.
Thanks for having us.
Michael, you should do the sign-off, Michael, shouldn't you?
Well, you guys need to pick which song you'd like to play in the show.
Should we sign off for the series? Big thanks to Ramon Vega, Lloyd Griffith, Tom Crane, Ian Moore, Harry Redknapp, Suggs, Trevor Stephen, and thank you again, Lloyd, and George. Magnificent debut. Shame about the result. However, when you win the quiz, you get to sign off with a song. But Lloyd, we've got a singer on. We've got a singer on the winning team. Lloyd, is there a song? What can you sing us out for the series?
No, I don't think we should sing us out for the series. I think that would be absolutely ridiculous.
Lloyd, do you want to just mention your campaign quickly?
I'm basically trying to sing the national anthem at Wembley for the Euros this year, which seems absolutely batshit crazy, but that's what I'm trying to do. So it's because I'm a classically trained singer as well as a comedian and raconteur. So I'm just trying to sing the national anthem at Wembley during the Euros. So
what if you better platform to audition than here right now?
Okay, well, I'll just give you a little burst, but it sounds it sounds mental. So it's just I won't do the national anthem because that's a bit, it doesn't really. So I'll do a little bit of an absolute 90s classic. You ready?
Come on, units, just keep your bottle and use your heads. 90 minutes and let them know it's Man United, here we go.
So just basically that is kind of...
Yeah,
just a bit of that. So I do sing properly, but if you want to, it's at the campaign's called Let Lloyd Sing. So if you want to search that and get behind it and whatever.
Quickly, Kevin gives it its full backing.
Yes, lads, thank you.
Are you going to sing into the normal Come On You Reds there? Is that how you're going
to
do it?
I think I'll go sort of Soul Wax, Too Many DJs style, seamless transition between the two.
We'll see you for the Euros then. Until then, Robbie Slater. See you later.